We thank you for this beautiful day that you blessed us with. Thank you as our church body, Lord. I pray for today, Lord, that we will glorify your name and praise you. I ask you to be with our pastors and preaching your word, that you would give him the words to speak, and may we take it in our hearts and believe it and obey it. Now, Lord, I thank you that it is Mother's Day, that we celebrate mothers, that you would bless all the mothers in this world for what they do for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's good to see those that are here this morning. We will go ahead and continue on with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing number 29, How Majestic Is Your Name, 29.
Good morning, Hillcrest. It is good to be here this morning celebrating, partly celebrating our mothers, and we're grateful that you chose to come to Hillcrest this morning to celebrate Mother's Day and to worship with us as we meet together this morning. I have a few announcements for you. Is Pamela in here? Do you want to announce or do you want me to? All right.
Good morning. Our GAs have decided this year we're going to sponsor a missions project for Baptist Friendship House in New Orleans. Kay Bennett was one of our week of prayer missionaries, and she runs the Baptist Friendship House in New Orleans, and they support the homeless and victims of human trafficking down there. They really need some help. So we've decided that we're going to collect items. The items that you see on the list in your bulletin are the items that we've chosen for May. There will be another list in June and another in July that we'll be collecting for before we go in July. We're asking for the church's help. If you could please help us out. And if you can't monetarily, then please pray. Pray for Kay and for Baptist Friendship House and for our GAs as they learn about the different missionaries and as we get these items to New Orleans.
And I bet if you can't get these supplies, I bet if you write a check and earmark it for the, that they would be able to spend that money and buy the supplies that they need. That's an awesome thing that the GAs are doing. All right, VBS, we have a meeting tomorrow night at 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. If you want to serve in some aspect for VBS, come to that meeting. Miss Lisa will be conducting it, and we'll be dishing out some responsibilities. If you have no idea whether or not you want to serve VBS, show up to the meeting tomorrow night and you will decide then, I promise you. Nursery will be available, and there's going to be a light supper if you would like. Fuge is coming up quickly. In June, we will be going, the youth will be going to Ridgecrest, North Carolina to do Fuge. And if you're not familiar with what Fuge is a mission trip for our youth. We gather, and there's going to be several churches of all sizes there, and we will worship together all week long, but we'll also be sent out and do some kind of mission. And our philosophy has always been God will put us where he wants us to be, and so we don't pick any place. We just leave it up in the air, and when we get there, they'll tell us where to go. And so pray for our youth, and if there are any youth in here that are going, man, I think I'd like to go now. It is not closed. We have 20 spots reserved. At the end of this week, I have to close that down and finalize our numbers. So speak to me by Wednesday if you have a youth that still wants to go to Fuge. What else? Potluck is coming up Wednesday, May 31st. It'll be at 6:30. Meat, bread, and drinks will be provided. Bring two sides. There will be no evening activities tonight in celebration of Mother's Day. Go love on your moms, go love on your families, and enjoy family time together. And I think that is all the announcements that I have. All right, we want to welcome you once again to Hillcrest Baptist Church. Visitors, thank you for choosing to come this morning. We're going to welcome you, and we're going to welcome each other, and we're going to do that by standing up, singing, and shaking hands and hugging necks.
Fountain cleansed by his blood, joined as with Jesus as we travel this side, for I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined us with Jesus as we travel this art. For I'm part of the family of God.
All right, you can see and be seated. I'm not saying a word. This is Mother's Day. I hope you had a good week. I hope you had a good week. All right. Our women had their brunch yesterday, and I hear good things from it, so that was great. Had some birthdays this week and had some doctor's visits this week, so there'll be a time to pray for each other in just a second. We went to see Norma. She's in the hospital, 5107 is her room number. They don't want many visitors, but she is not doing very well. They thought she had a stroke, but she did not have a stroke. She's had some heart issues, and they're not sure what the deal is. adjusted her blood pressure medicine and this and that, but she's real weak. So be praying for Miss Norma. She's just been a rock of our church. You know, so if all of us would pray, God would hear our prayers in a mighty way, and maybe God would just heal her on the spot. So let's go to the Lord and pray, and thank the Lord especially for our women. Without women, we'd be nothing, so let's pray for them. Almighty Father, what a great God you are, a loving and merciful God, a forgiving God. You are a God that created us. You created us to have a relationship with you and to love you and for you to love us. And somewhere, Father, we have messed that up and you still love us. You tell us, Father, in Romans 5 that even while we live in sin, you love us and gave Jesus for us. I pray, Lord, that if there be anybody in our church today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today they would give their life to you. I thank you, Lord, for the blessings of womanhood and childbirth and encouragement and love from moms and women. And Father, I just ask God that today we would honor them. I ask, Lord, that you would be with those that are sick, those that are having tests and surgeries. We lift up Miss Norma to you, asking God that you'd touch her and encourage her and be with her family as they travel back and forth to the hospital. And I pray for us, Father, tonight as we stay at home and celebrate Mother's Day with our family, and God, that you'd just give us a day of joy, a day of peace, and Father, that we'd enjoy each other's company. Father, as we sing and pray and read the Word, and I pray, God, that everything we do and say would bring honor and glory to your name. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, children, come on down. How many of you wish your mother a happy Mother's Day today? Well, I think we all ought to. Listen to what God's Word says about honoring your mother. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is God speaking to us. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Why is it so important to honor our parents, Leah? Yeah, that's the number one reason. We honor our mother and daddy because God told us to. But we also honor them because they've taken care of us all these years. They provide for us. Has your mother ever told you, I don't love you? They never will. That's why we ought to tell them every so often we love them, huh? Right? Did you tell your mother today that you love her? Told her yesterday, you better tell her today. When you get home, you know what you need to do? Stand up a minute. Stand up. Come here right in front of me. You grab her like this, say, oh, I love you, Mother. Thank you so much. Happy Mother's Day. And see if she doesn't just smile like you and say, oh, man, what did I do to deserve that? Okay. Love you, Mother, especially today, okay? And do what I just tell you. Go up and hug them. When they least expect it, give them a great big old hug and see what they do. They'd be so surprised. Well, okay, today's Mother's Day, so why don't you save these and give to your mother? You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. There you go. You're welcome.
And you may remain seated as we continue on with number 340, He Hideth My Soul, 340. Shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand. With numberless blessings each moment He grants, and filled with His fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, O glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. If you would please stand as we continue on with number 204, Glorious is Thy Name, 204.
Blessed Savior, we adore Thee. Name, glorious
Trials fall across the way. Though sometimes turns the passage rough and steep. See his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Before we get started, we're going to take a time to give you an opportunity to share a thought, a praise about your mother, or some of us just had women that influenced our lives. So the floor is open to you. Can you guys imagine Don's mother? She was 4 foot tall, and she wore him out. Yeah, I know it. We're going to ride this thing out with Carl. We're all going to end up being lip readers. If you didn't hear that, he was adopted at 8 years old, and up until that time, he'd pretty well been just homeless on the street without anything, without any teaching, and mom and dad taught him about the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes they taught you like that, didn't they? Yes. Yeah. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Did you say she raised 34 children? I believe she would say 35. Anybody else? Even if you don't voice it, if you're here today, you had a mother, and you ought to thank the Lord for her. We're going to look at mothers today, things about women. At Hillcrest Baptist Church, we honor our mothers on Mother's Day, but we also honor our great-grandmothers, our grandmothers, and women that don't have children. Some of the women that have not been able to have children or by choice or by health, they have loved our children as much as we love our children. So we honor our women today. What a blessing it is to have women in our church, in our families. If you've ever been around women when you didn't walk with the Lord and you were around godly women, you appreciate what godly women do. before I became a deacon, I had never gotten up in front of the church, would not get up in front of the church. You couldn't have made me get up in front of the church. And to become a deacon, you need to give a testimony, but you also need to pray in front of everybody. So my first prayer, I didn't thank the Lord for the offering. I didn't thank the Lord for the church. Didn't thank the Lord for my wife. I thanked him for two women that had a huge influence in my life just by me watching them. And they taught other women in discipleship training. And we have some of those women here that you are the backbone of this church. You teach, you love, you encourage. And sometimes you'll pull us aside and say, you know, they set us straight. So I don't know if everybody agrees with me or not, but you ought to. Amen. Praise the Lord for our women. Yeehaw. Yes, sir. Yeehaw. Anybody ever watch Little House on the Prairie? Laura Ingalls Wilder said this: lessons learned at a mother's knee last through life. She also said the mother is and must be, whether she knows it or not, the greatest and strongest and most lasting teacher her children will ever have. And that's what moms do. That's what women do. They teach us. They grow us. Evidently, Thomas Edison had a great mother. He said this about her: I did not have my mother very long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I could never lose. If it had not been for her and her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never likely have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of different spiritual caliber, I should have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me in the right path. My mother was the making of me. She must have been a great lady. Men, dads, I want to talk to you a second. Do you honor your wife and cherish your wife as your children are watching you? Are you able to show your children that you love your wife and care for her and will do anything for her? I hope you are. This is what George Washington thought of his mother. George Washington said of my mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. I ask the men whether you honor and cherish your wife in front of your children, because how are they going to grow up to cherish their own wife if we don't show them? How are they going to grow up to love their own wife and to be able to say, I love you, with our voice in front of their children? So we're going to look at some of the different examples of women in the Bible, and we're going to start out in Genesis chapter 2 and look at the very first woman. So let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24, and then we're going to kind of look at two or three other verses in Genesis 2. So Genesis 2, 18 through 24. The Bible says, and the Lord God said, it is not good for that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. I heard one thing in one verse, verse 18. If you would, let's read verse 18 again. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. You know what I get out of this verse? Men, that we need women. It's simple. It's in black and white here, but we need women, and we need to act like we need them. We're partners. God has designed women to be helpers for us, helpmates. A helper will back us up in any time, times of trouble, circumstances. A helpmate will be there for us. We need women in our life. I want you to check out some verses with me that have to do with a helper. Because women, I want to tell you, you are a help, a helpmate, a helper, and you're in really good company as it comes to being a helper. If you would, run over to Psalms 54. And look at verse 4. The Bible says, "Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life." Do you hear who's the helper in this verse? God is the helper. I compare you with God today. You are a helper in the Lord. You hold us up as we need help. So thank you for that. And then run over to Psalm 46, verse 1. The Bible says, "God is our refuge and strength, and he's a very present help in time of need." Our women are helpmates, and we count on you to be a very present help in times of trouble that we go through. And as those times happen, we're so very grateful for what God has done through you guys. So thank you for that. And then Psalm 33, verse 20. "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." According to Genesis chapter 2, we're soulmates. We're one. We cleave to each other. And we do that through thick and thin. And you're always there with us. Thank you, Lord, for godly women in our lives. You are in really good company, being a help. Keep on going and look at verses 21 and 20 through 24, Genesis 2 again, 21 through 24. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now my bone of bones and flesh of flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" I heard Adrian Rogers preach to a men's conference about this, and he said God didn't take part of the foot to create woman from the man. We are not to trample over our women. We're not to walk over them. He said he didn't take anything from up here, up shoulders high, because we're not smarter than women. We aren't to hold what we think is wisdom over our women. But he did take something close to the heart. He took the rib so that we would love them and cherish them and honor them. So God knew what he was doing, didn't he? Thank the Lord for our women in our life. Keep on going and run over to Ruth. As we look at Ruth, we're going to see a mother-in-law and a woman that loves each other. Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Bible said, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, and there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of the sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there." And then verse 3 says, "Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons.
In verse 4, now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. As you think about Ruth, according to this verse, mom, wife, lost her husband, and lost the two children. But I want you to see something about Naomi. Even though she lost her wife and two children, we see an inner strength in Naomi. In fact, if you read and try to read between the lines, there's nothing between the lines. She didn't have time to grieve. She had to pick up the pieces and go forward. She knew that the only way her daughter-in-laws and her were going to eat is if she did something. A very strenuous woman, a very strengthful woman. As you think up here about Ruth and Naomi, you see a woman that's willing to do anything to take care of her family. And that's what women do in our lives. They're willing to do anything. They pick up the pieces when need be. And keep on going to look at verse 6. Ruth 1, verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return to the country of Moab, for she heard that that country had food. Do you hear that? Not only she had inner strength, but she picked up the pieces and moved the two girls with her. She loved those two girls. But as she took them, we'll see in verses 7 through 9. In fact, let's read it and see what happens. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. This is three women traveling in pretty dangerous territory. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each of the mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. So that she kissed them and they lifted up their voices. Naomi gets the land of Judah and she's going to have the girls go live with their own mothers. And one goes and one doesn't. Ruth stays behind. She stays behind because she loved Naomi. And my question as I studied this was, why? Because Naomi loved her. And she saw the strength that Naomi had and the struggles that Naomi had. And she loved Naomi. So they stayed together. And women and mothers stay together with us. And they take care of our needs. Dads, don't they? If you have a good wife, you ought to praise the Lord. If you have a great mother, you ought to praise the Lord right now, silently or verbally. We ought to thank the Lord for what God has done for us. Ruth learned love from a godly mother-in-law. We learn love from a godly mother, from a godly woman. Well, let's keep on going to look at another example in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, chapter 1. Second Timothy, chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. He writes, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. And then verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is also in you. When you look at this, you hear Paul say he sees a great faith in Timothy. And then he tells us something about that faith. He saw that faith in Timothy's grandmother, and mother. My question is, where did he get this faith? Should he not have gotten it from his daddy? So let's look at it as a daddy and what he was about. Run back to Acts chapter 16 and look at verses 1 through 3. Acts 16, 1 through 3. We're answering the question, did Timothy get this faith from mom and grandmother and daddy? Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but the Bible says what? That his father was a Greek. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Paul's daddy was Greek. He was lost. He did not know the Savior, Jesus Christ. He had nothing to do with Timothy's faith. He may have been a good daddy, but he was not a saved daddy. He was not a daddy that taught Timothy about the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the responsibilities that man has in life is to be the spiritual leader of his home. He ought to be telling his children how to get saved, how to have a relationship with the Bible, how to read his Bible, how to have a quiet time, have a time of prayer, have a relationship. Timothy's daddy failed him. But isn't God gracious by giving a godly grandmother and a godly mother to Timothy to have a man of faith? In fact, we have a book, two books in the Bible with Timothy, don't we? Where would we be today without Timothy having a godly grandmother and a godly mother? We sure wouldn't be reading about him. He probably wouldn't have been a pastor over the Church of Ephesus. He probably wouldn't have been a servant to God. Thank you, Lord, for godly grandmothers and godly mothers and godly women. I wrote this down. I probably shouldn't say it, but I'm going to. I wrote, I'm sorry to say, whenever I write something like that, somebody's going to get it. I am sorry to say our women more often than not teach our children about the Lord. Our men are guilty of saying something like this, go ask your mother. Anybody done that before? I've done it. Back before I was walking with the Lord, if there was a question about the Bible, I said, go talk to your mom. Dads, we can do better than that. I'll just drop that one for right now. We'll come back to that Father's Day probably. Lois and Eunice probably didn't know what they were developing in Timothy. But we get a glimpse of Timothy and what they did in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So let's finish up with that, chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, and look at verses 10 through 17. But you have certainly followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of knowing from whom and where you learned it. And from that childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Did you hear what he said? From that childhood, Timothy has learned the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for good work. Verse 15 tells us that Timothy was taught the Scripture early in age. We just went over Acts chapter 16 and determined that Timothy's father did not teach him the Scriptures. Who did? Grandmother and mother. But look what would happen had they not taught Timothy to read and learn and love the Scriptures. Look at verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What a job, moms, grandmothers, women, you have to keep us straight. to teach us, and you've done a job well done. Without a godly mother, we wouldn't have Timothy. We wouldn't have the preacher that Paul mentored to teach us the Word of God. So today, we thank the Lord for all women that we're influenced by. Dads, love your wife, love your mother, love your grandmother. And for those women that have not had children, love them too. Sometimes they don't come on Mother's Day because they don't feel like they want to be here. We have women here today, or not here today, because they're not happy on Mother's Day. We don't want to exclude them. We love our women. Amen. We thank the Lord for our women, and some of you have had really godly women, and I praise God for that. I praise God that you're here today because somebody taught you to be here today. I was going to preach another sermon. I'll just stop. We're going to have an invitation. The invitation is, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, never go home like that. We always invite you to come forward and let me share with you how to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. But dads, sometimes we forget about our wives, don't we? We take them for granted. This would be a good time during this invitation to just ask God to forgive you and help you to be a better helper to them. Help us to appreciate them more. God may put it on your heart to come forward for baptism or church membership. I never know what God's going to do, but this is His time. We'll sing a verse or two of a song. I'll be up right out there waiting for you to come down, and the hardest step you'll ever make is out of the pew into the aisle and come on down. So if God is speaking to your heart, come on down, let's pray about that. So let's stand.
Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face.